The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
Let's go, baby!
Are you ready for a break?
Yes.
Are you ready for a break?
Absolutely.
Ready for a break?
Yeah, and so much for that.
It's time for The Break on DallasCowboys.com.
We were on the break!
With Ambar Garcia, Brian Broaddus, Patrick Walker, and Derek Eagleton.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of The Break. I have Patrick with me, and then Brian. Derek is in a very important meeting, but he might join us later. He was very kind to give me a long, his long rundown for the show. Okay. So yeah, he is in fact a great host. So. Because shout out to him. Yeah. He writes everything. Oh, and he even sent me season 19, episode 105.
To make sure that you said
Yes. So
did he also shout out there. Did he also put in there for me to ask you if my attire is acceptable to you today, Mother Wardrobe?
Oh my god. No, I only gave you the fire back because you gave it to me first the day before.
Me? What?
Yes. No. But anyways, let's get right into the show. Let's talk some drama. We'll talk about some injuries later on. Mike McCarthy, he's about to step on the podium and talk to the media here very, very shortly. But in the meantime, there's some drama going on currently all over social media in regards to Micah Parsons and him not making the list.
Right. So this morning, the NFLPA announced its second annual Players All-Pro team. So first of all, let's qualify this is not the typical and longstanding All-Pro voting that NFL fans, NFL teams are accustomed to. That's the AP version, which will drop here in a couple of days. That's the one that actually has the most weight. However, when it comes to Micah Parsons, that's arguable. So here's who made for the Cowboys. Here's who made the NFLPA first team All-Pro. It's CeeDee Lamb, Zach Martin, Deron Bland, Brandon Aubrey, and Tyler Smith. Shout out to Tyler Smith. If you notice, there are two notable names not there, Dak Prescott and Micah Parsons. Lamar Jackson beat out Dak Prescott on the first team. That's fine. You can go with that. We'll see what the second team list looks like. But for the first team off-ball linebackers, which is still technically what Micah Parsons' position is, he was beat out in the players voting by Roquan Smith and Fred Warner. And, of course, that warrants a lot of discussion. So Twitter is on fire about it right now, making their argument. And I don't disagree with them. I think Fred Warner, obviously a future Hall of Famer, I'm fine with Fred Warner being there. But as much as I love Roquan Smith, going back to his days with University of Georgia and seeing him play with his hair on fire in Baltimore, help that team to a number one seed, I still can't put Roquan Smith over what Micah Parsons is doing and continues to do. So that's the discussion right now. So, and here's why it matters really to Micah Parsons. For those that are wondering if this is the one, quote unquote, that matters, that's arguable. It matters to Micah Parsons because he said on the record, Pro Bowl voting doesn't really move him because a third of it is fan generated. He said the NFL top 100 list that comes out annually, he loves that list because it's player voting only. Well, this is player voting only, and he didn't make first team. We might have an angry Micah going into the playoffs. Good luck, Green Bay.
I like that. Brian, what are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I think it's difficult for Micah because I don't know if the players, they see, now they're watching tape and they're watching opponent tape. And maybe there's some guys that sit down and watch games when they get home. You know, maybe there's some guys that don't. There's some guys that just get away. And, you know, so, but if you have a vote for this, I hope the guys that are voting for this know, you know, okay, I voted for this guy because of this. Or I voted. I think there's a lot of players that aren't sure what Micah Parsons plays. They know he's a weapon. You know, if there was a vote for give me the player that most offensive coordinators hate to deal with, Micah Parsons would be on that list. He'd be one of the top guys. I think there's players that are not sure. Is Micah an edge? Is he a linebacker? So they really don't know a category. You know, Roquan Smith, you know, and Patrick, I totally respect what you're saying there. But he's completely turned that Raven. When they traded for him, that Ravens defense became completely different in a positive way. And I can understand why teams that played the Ravens are like, this Roquan Smith's he's a beast.
Oh, yeah, he's different.
Yeah, he's different. And so, but I think that Micah falls in a category where players are like, yeah, vote for the best defensive weapon. Micah Parsons is probably going to get 85% of that vote, you know, and then the others, you know, the Crosbys and guys like that. But I think that's the problem with Micah. He is he's a difference maker at so many different positions that players are like, well, where do we put him? You know, but then again, you say, well, do you put him at edge? Well, wait a minute, I've seen these two guys. Or do you put him at linebacker? Well, I've seen these two guys. So I think there's some of that to that. I know if you had a vote of offensive coordinators around the league, and they said vote on the most disruptive player that's the hardest to prepare for, mm-hmm. Micah Parsons would be on everybody's list. I mean, because those guys watching tape too.
Yeah,
and I think there's sometimes some people that maybe haven't seen Micah Parsons play. Maybe they've seen the highlights and things like that, or maybe they hear about Micah not getting help, you know, getting any holding calls. You know, these players will tell you, we don't listen, we tune that out. No, they really don't. They hear everything that we say,
well,
everything
also,
that we write.
Well, also, you keep up with the people that are in the business with you. Like, yeah. You keep up with the people that are playing the same sport as you, and who's doing well, who's doing
for
really good.
For competitive reasons, yeah. you want to outdo them.
Yeah. So, yeah, you might see Micah on a tape. You're watching your, you're playing the Eagles this week, and you're the Bills. And you're watching the game, and all of a sudden you're watching the Dallas game, and you're like going, gosh, Micah is just wrecking shop here. And then maybe there's some guys that aren't even noticing that. You know, maybe they're not even noticing. They're just kind of – they're watching the Eagles and or they're watching the Bills, and they're not really paying attention to what – and so I wonder how many players really, really, really – and that also gets me on the top 100 because I've heard rumors about – like players not wanting to players to, for them to ask them to write down five things.
Yeah.
vote on 100, fill out a ballot with 100 players. No,
I've been in the locker room when they have those lists and I'll see players' papers and they'll have just like two names on top and then the rest of the sheet of paper is completely blank.
There's some players that take that seriously. And then there's others where they hand it to Scott Agolnik and say, hey, Scott, vote for this team for me, please. Or, hey, Joe.
That's someone who works in PR.
Yeah, Joe Trahan, please do my ballot here, please. You know, there's guys that take this seriously, and then there's guys that, like, you know, like they don't know.
Yeah.
That's the hard thing about it, though. And I think that, to me, you know, fan vote is interesting because I'll tell you where the fans have become even more engaged. It's because of fantasy football.
Yeah.
Fans will sit there and they will know the backup tight end for the New Orleans Saints because of fantasy football. You know, so this is where when you start to talk about fan vote, fans know who are playing well and who's not playing well. The players, even though they're playing against Micah Parsons, I guarantee you there's guys that voted for Micah Parsons, but, you know, he didn't have enough of those guys.
Yeah.
You know, so that's funny. I was laughing at kind of to myself, though. It's the Players Association vote. Micah pays dues for that. You know, pays, matter of fact, one of the highest paying dues of any union in the world. And I'm sure Micah's looking at his dues that are going to that league and going, I wonder if I really need to be paying these dues.
I want a refund.
I tell you what, it's an excellent point Brian makes about it. The problem is Micah is in positional purgatory.
Yeah.
Right?
Nobody knows what he really plays.
What does he play? He's listed as linebacker, but majority of his snaps are defensive end as edge rusher. But then, you know, you'll see him play a particular game on any respective week, and his linebacker snaps will outweigh what he did at the edge. So, that does play into it 100%, which also makes me wonder how will this AP All-Pro list shake out? Because that's going to be – if that's an issue with the players voting, it's going to be an issue with how media – because we're sitting here media talking about it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so it'll be interesting to see. We do have some injury updates. Those have come in. So Tyler Smith will be limited with his foot injury in practice, the torn plantar fascia. So he is trending in the right direction towards being on the field. Cowboys exec Stephen Jones, Jerry Jones has backed this up, Mike McCarthy. healthy as well. They're all in lockstep as far as expecting Tyler Smith and Zach Martin to be on the field. So the Cowboys should have a full complement of the starting offensive linemen. Stephon Gilmore, he will not practice today. That is not unexpected at all with that subluxation to his shoulder that he suffered. Popped out. They popped it back in. MRI showed no major damage. He's expected to play. But they'll probably hold him out of practice this week and hold him out until the walkthrough on Saturday.
Yep.
So that's where they're trending right now with those two headline injuries.
Well, positive.
Positive.
on the
you got
positive.
Your Afrin?
I was going to ask.
No, I'm
struggling?
No, I can't take any more doses.
You run out? You run out?
I'm at the max.
Overdose on
so
Afrin.
I'm at the max, okay. So I cannot. Yeah, I'm struggling.
Put Ambar on the injury report. Illness.
Breathe through my mouth. Illness. I'm like, no, but that's good, and yes. We'll see how it keeps developing for over the week. And
yeah, I think the thing that what we were talking about yesterday is injury reports this time of year when you get to the playoffs. The further you get in the playoffs, the more the players realize, like, listen, I've got.
You're all in.
I see. They see the finish line. They see four more games is what they see. They don't see 14 more games. They see four more games for a chance. And a lot of guys will fight through. There's a lot of guys who will fight through injuries during the season, but now even more so. You know, if it means, hey, listen, I will play Sunday, but I can't practice. Okay. And there's a lot of guys that are that way right now that just have to get them to Sunday. And if you get them to Sunday, your chances to win are pretty good.
Yep. It's a 1 week season from here on out.
Yeah.
So like you said yesterday, there's no more, you know, holding out a guy.
Yeah.
If a guy can play through something without causing a setback or creating a long-term situation, that guy's going to be on the field because there is no tomorrow if you don't win this game, whatever that game might be, wild card, you know, divisional matchup, whatever. You got to have all hands on deck.
Absolutely. All right, let's take our first break. When we come back, we're going to dive into this Green Bay Packers offense and hear the whole scouting report and how the team is currently looking.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Cowboys fans, after that move, we've just coined the term Rowdy Replay. Let's roll back the tape.
Okay, there's our mascot Rowdy cheering on the boys, and now he's on his phone, on his Bank of America mobile banking app?
Staying on top of his finances with his virtual financial assistant, Erica.
Bank of America's digital tools are so impressive. Cowboys fans just can't stop banking. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/can't stop banking.
Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
Welcome back into Dear Doctor, the show where I answer life's questions with an ice-cold can of Dr. Pepper. Sheila, let's hear from our next caller, would you?
Dear Doctor, my friend supported me during a tough time, but what's the right gift that says, thanks for being a shoulder to cry on?
Okay, this one's easy. I say, give her a delicious Dr. Pepper. Nothing says, thanks, girl, better than a one-of-a-kind soda. Yes, any Dr. Pepper flavor will do. Now, just a reminder that I don't need to be a real doctor to know that Dr. Pepper is the one you deserve.
They say champions are remembered, but legends are never forgotten. United Ag and Turf offers a winning lineup of John Deere equipment built to tackle any challenge on and off the field. Legendary John Deere tractors, combines, residential mowers, commercial mowers, compact construction equipment, Gator utility vehicles, and a full line of golf and sports turf equipment. United Ag and Turf, the official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit unitedagandturf.com to find a location near you.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Back to the break.
You know the drill. Cowboy Nation's whiteout at AT&T Stadium this weekend. Show up for our boys as they take on the Green Bay Packers in the 2023 NFL wildcard round in an all-white game day outfit. Head to the pro shop near you or log on to shop.dallascowboys.com for a Fanatics experience to find your whiteout gear.
Welcome back to the second segment presented by blockchain.com. So, Brian, this is Derek's question. How would you describe this team, this Green Bay Packers team, for those who haven't watched them this season?
Yeah, it's funny because Coach McCarthy was just talking about how young they are. They're one of the youngest teams in the National Football League. They're battling injury right now, and, you know, and they don't have a group of wide receivers. I mean, the Cowboys have played wide receivers here the last several weeks and throughout the season where there've been like marquee names, marquee players. And really the Packers aren't that way. And that's the way I remember. And it goes way back to the time when I worked in Green Bay in 1992, when we started. They just don't look at receivers as, okay, let's go out and get first round guys. Let's go out. They like to try and work the second, third, fourth rounds. They like to try and develop guys. They've done a really good job of the history of that and been able to some outstanding players, Adams and others. I mean, they've had guys that have just been super talented players. But this group is a little bit banged up right now. They've got a quarterback who is a veteran in years, but not a veteran in starts. And so throughout the year, he's had his times where he's been actually very, very good. There's times where he gets very sloppy in games. You know, he's one of those guys that, depending on how you pressure him, how he adjusts. But when he's on, he could be lethal the way he throws the ball. But when you pressure him a little bit, or he gets sloppy with his footwork, he can miss passes. He could be high. He could be wide. You know, it's a little bit like, you know, we've seen through the years with Aaron Rodgers and how Rodgers can throw from different platforms, and it seems so effortless and easy, and you're like, oh, how do you make that throw? Love has got some of that ability to do that, but there'll be times where, say, he gets a little bit loose and then the ball kind of goes away from him. Their offensive line is one of the better ones that the Cowboys will play this year. They're one of those teams that don't give up a whole lot of pressure. Matter of fact, they're right behind the Cowboys when it comes to the number of pressures that they give up. So it's a team that has a lot of components to it. It's got a coach that's a primary, the play caller. The head coach is the play caller. He likes to go motion to motion and then kind of confuse you that way. So he's going to test your eyes with that. He's going to get the tight ends involved. He's going to get the tight ends involved in blocking. He's going to throw screens. So there's a lot of things that they do offensively that are dynamic, but they just do it without the marquee names, with the exception of a couple positions.
So 9-8 season, I believe, that they finished the season with. Now, before we dive completely into the scouting report, Patrick, since you love giving percentages and scales and graphs and science, we know in the past and what Cowboys fans and everybody is used to was facing Aaron Rodgers and how you can fear that guy in the last second of the game. He can always come back and score.
Indeed.
How different is now as a whole, looking at what the new team and everything that Brian said, as far as like, quote unquote, fearing a team like the Green Bay Packers?
Well, Brian will get into this in great detail here in a moment, but, you know, kind of keeping the Jordan Love, the difference between Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love, obviously there's a list of things because Aaron Rodgers is a future first ballot Hall of Famer. But one thing that stands out about Jordan Love is versus Aaron Rodgers is when Aaron Rodgers gets outside of the pocket, that's kind of when the party starts, right? So he can make all the throws from inside the pocket, but once you flush him out, that doesn't mean that play's broken. That's when he's most dangerous. Jordan Love is not exactly that. Jordan Love has problems throwing when he's on the run. His numbers, so I'm charting this for tomorrow's science lab, tomorrow's Thursday, So what I noticed about Jordan Love is his passer rating, yards per attempt, his completion percentage over expectation, and his general completion percentage all decline when he's forced to throw on the run, right? So you want to pressure him, but there's kind of a loophole there. He performs well when you blitz him.
Yeah.
So what you need to do is get pressure with your front four without taking someone out of coverage. You need to force him to face that pressure and do it on the run without helping him out by dropping a guy out of coverage to come chase him. If you can do that, there are substantial declines in his production. So that's the difference between Jordan Love and Aaron Rodgers as far as the most glaring one. As I was looking at his film and looking at his numbers, if you can flush him out without a blitz and get him under pressure, get him on the run, the coin flips and he becomes that young quarterback that doesn't know what's going on. There'll be some panic there.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that, and Patrick's right, if you speed him up, it gives him problems. You know, he doesn't, I mean, he'll stand there and throw the ball out of the pocket. And then there's a lot of times they create opportunities for him with the receivers and the tight ends with the spot routes, the flat routes. Spot routes are just a little turn-in routes. You hit it for 5 yards or you throw the ball to the flat. That's another 5 to 7 yards. They'll try and get the ball out of his hand. But the when you speed him up, and I know that blitzing is, he's good at that, but when it seems like when he's sped up and like Patrick's talking about when they put him on the move, then he kind of falls apart. He'll throw the ball back to the middle of the field, which is a no-no for
quarterback. So he doesn't like to be flustered.
There's no quarterbacks that like to be harassed. And he doesn't get harassed an awful lot. I mentioned the number of pressures he's faced this season. You know, but when you do get that opportunity, it seems like to me there was a throw in the Tampa game that he made that they had a shot at a touchdown on the goal on a fourth down play, and his he went back, his feet were bad, but you could tell that he was hurrying to get the ball out. And now what happened? Ball goes wide, incomplete, turnover going the other way. So that's where I think that, you know, we'll see what Dallas is able. You naturally know playing the Cowboys that you're going to get pressured. Their tackles play extremely soft. And I mean, soft.
So who do they have protecting him?
Yeah, when you look at their offensive line, though, I think there's no real glaring weaknesses with this offensive line. Is like I say, as a unit, they rank near the bottom of the league when it comes to the pressures. That's 30th. They've only allowed 181 pressures, which is like I say, Cowboys are right above them, and then there's the Packers right there. So you can kind of get the idea about that. But Rashad Walker, the left tackle, and then Zach Tom, the right tackle, they tend to set soft. And so if Tank or Micah or Armstrong or these guys feel that you're going to set soft, and I mean set soft as they drop in their pass blocking, you know, they tend to, like, sometimes guys will set you on the line of scrimmage and then try and hold you there and not let you. But the Packers, they kind of set soft. And so I've seen guys run the tackles back into the quarterback, you know, and then kind of squeeze the pocket that way on this guy. So Tank is looking at his Tank plays. Tank's a speed to power guy. Micah, speed to power guy. That this could give the Packers a little bit of trouble with their two tackles if they continue to set soft in this game.
And to that point, I spoke on it yesterday with the lab coat segment in saying that the Packers, their defensive time to pressure versus Dak Prescott's time to throw works in Dak Prescott's favor. When you look at the opposite side of the coin, the time to pressure for the Cowboys defense, best in the league, 2.44 seconds from snap to pressure. Jordan Love's time to throw is typically 2.77 seconds. So Jordan Love is going to get sped up in this game because his offensive line isn't going to be able to give him as much time as he needs against this team, the best in the league at getting pressure. And they're going to disrupt his comfort level. He's going to have to speed up, and that works in the Cowboys' favor as well. And again, to Brian's point, it's largely because that offensive line, it's just not solid, and they're going against one of the better defensive fronts in the league.
Yeah, the home crowd will make a difference on this one.
Yeah,
it will. It will make a difference of how quickly they're able to try and get out of their stances and how they set and all that. The crowd, the troubles that the Packers have had that I noticed. And like I was watching the Giants game, which they lost. I watched the Tampa game, which I was just curious about. What did teams do to them that forced them to lose these games? And the Giants game, the crowd gave their offensive line some problems with some of their sets and stuff like that, just getting out of their sets. Cowboys crowd will do the same to him this week as well.
I'm very curious to see what the crowd looks like against the white.
Come on, Cowboys.
It'll be green, and it'll be a lot of green, and there'll be a lot of white. That's what you're going to. Yeah.
All right, well, what kind of challenges does each of the wide receivers present?
Yeah, they're really, really banged up right now, and that's a problem. And really, Christian Watson, who last year in this game, he was having a terrible, terrible season. Then all of a sudden, he had a Hall of Fame, Pro Bowl, NFL Players Association first team vote kind of
well
guy.
Done.
Yeah,
well
I mean,
done.
Really, but he has struggled. He's missed the last five games with a hamstring injury, and there's questions about his availability. They tried him last week. He was limited. He couldn't go. We'll see. We'll see about that. Romeo Doubs is another one that is dealing with. He tried to catch a ball. He extended for a ball in the Chicago game last week. He got rocked pretty good. Suffered a chest injury. Got taken to the hospital. So he's listed right now as really day to day with a chest injury. And so they're down. But what's interesting about this group is that others have kind of stepped up and filled in. And Jaden Reed is a really good player for them. And he's a young guy. I mean, you talk about him and Dontavian Wicks are the two guys that have kind of filled in nicely. I mean, Reed, you watch him, he's got the speed to separate. So Watson's kind of was their vertical guy. Well, here's, you know, in that now taking over, Reed has been the guy that's kind of the vertical guy and the guy that's able to separate. The thing you got to watch about Wicks, and he's number 13, is when they run the ball, they usually run it to his side because he's kind of that Noah Brown of back in the day. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he can make plays, you know, the catches. But when they run, they use him as a blocker. So they'll bring him in motion, block. They'll put them to a side, run the ball over there. So he's kind of their guy that if you follow 13 in the running game or kind of key him, you could say, okay, if they're going to run, it's going to be his direction is what they do. Because they'll do a lot of that where they run the ball to one side and then motion a tight end across. So like Micah is going to have to deal if he's playing edge. If the ball's going away, if they're going to run away from him, he's going to get some type of tight end coming back and blocking on him. So he has to be aware that they're not going to let him run free and just chase the play from the backside. But you can follow 13, and sometimes he will tell you where the ball is going to go when they run it because he's got that role on this team. But yeah, it's they're hurt right now at wide receiver. But the guys that are playing haven't done a bad job for him as far as filling in. They just haven't been the guys, the top guys.
So with the secondary, the Cowboys secondary, what's the best way, or how would you match them up?
Well, I think that Dallas could play him straight up. Yeah. And as Dallas will play, I mean, I don't think there's necessarily any reason to travel this week.
There's no alpha.
Yeah, there's nobody you would say that, like, okay, we have to take this guy out of the game. You know, I'm really, really going to keep an eye on the injury report, as we always do every day, about how their receivers practice. Because if they're down these receivers, now it's going to turn into Aaron Jones, the running back. Now the tight ends and the running back, I think, will be the focal points, you know, going forward here. Because Dallas, I think, can match up okay on the outside currently the way it is. We'll see what happens, though, with the running game. You know, how, you know, Aaron Jones has done, they've done a really good job of now, you know, his toughness and downhill ability, and he could be difficult to defend. Dallas saw it last year when he was running the ball, really didn't have a very good handle on him at all. But they like to throw the ball to him. They throw screens. They'll line him up wide like they do Pollard. They'll throw him the ball out wide. They'll bring him inside, throw him the ball. So he could be a difficult guy to have to deal with. So that's something that you have to kind of keep an eye on, him handing him the ball, the cutbacks that he makes. They'll run it to the weak side. They'll put the formation, everybody lined up strong, and then hand the ball back the other way. So you're kind of overcommitted over to one side, and then they take the ball back the other way. So pretty creative way that they try and get him the ball and hand him the ball and then allow him to do what he needs to do.
Yeah, if you're the Cowboys secondary, just play straight up and win your matchups. Yeah. Cowboys are a defense that prefers to play man over playing zone.
Yeah.
And this is a game that you can be successful in that, especially if Gilmore is on the field because, you know, like Brian said, the Packers don't have have an alpha receiver. What they do a good job of is spreading the ball around evenly. Whether, you know, Christian is on the field, not on the field, whether Romeo Dobbs plays or not, doesn't play. If you go and you look at how Jordan Love loves to, you know, hit his guys, he's looking for the open target. He's not going in saying, okay, well, we have a CeeDee Lamb. We got to, you know, get the offense generated through him and let it work off of that. He's just going in saying, I'm going to drop back, and whoever gets open, that's who's getting the ball. So if you're the Cowboys secondary, just win your matchups and you're good on that front.
You know, in the games I watched, and I mentioned I watched the Giants game and the Tampa game. They were back-to-back losses, and then I watched the Bears game just to kind of get an idea what they're doing. When Jordan Love was against man coverage, was 8 of 18 for 71 yards in the two games they lost against man coverage. But against the Bears, he was 4 for 4, you know, for 44 yards and two touchdowns. So here you go. I mean, Dallas plays predominantly man coverage.
Yep.
That's how they operate. That they're not going to get away from that. But the games where he's struggled, the games I watched, 8 of 18 for 71 yards, a touchdown and an interception in those two games playing man coverage. So do the best you can to make it difficult for him, potentially playing some of that man coverage.
And then speaking, you bring up Aaron Jones, who's typically given the Cowboys fits. Over the course of, you know, his career facing the Cowboys, he plays up to the Cowboys. That's just what it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, A.J. Dillon, he's definitely solid, but that running offense runs through Aaron. And they're pretty good from 20 to 20. Between the 20s, they're pretty good. But if you look at the film and then you look at their trends, they hit a brick wall in the red zone with their run offense. They really hit a brick wall in the red zone with the run offense. And ironically, with the run defense, and Brown will touch on that tomorrow. But there's some leverage for you as a Cowboy if you're playing the Cowboys defense. If you're playing for the Cowboys defense, you try to keep them from getting to the red zone, obviously. But once they get in the red zone, they become wildly one-dimensional. So that's when you have to look for Aaron Jones leaking out of the backfield on some of those screens or something like that. Jordan Love, he can be effective in the red zone, but you can shut down a running offense of the Packers that when they get into the red zone, they're really not good at poking that ball in. So
I like everything that I'm hearing right now. But let's take our final break. When we come back, we'll keep dissecting this offense a little further and then get into some other topics as well for this weekend.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Don't put off getting your oil changed, Dallas. Take 5 Oil Change, a proud partner of the Cowboys, is faster than you think. There's no appointment needed and no waiting room. Yep, you heard that correctly. Take 5 is so fast, you don't even have to get out of your car. You can take advantage of Take 5's fast, friendly, and simple service at any of their locations across the Dallas area. And remember, at Take 5, you stay in your car because they're faster than you think. Take 5, the official oil change of the Dallas Cowboys.
It's the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys, Jack Black. And right now, Cowboys fans can get 15% off their $75 order. Plus, because every deal needs a playmaker, your order will include a free 5-piece skincare set and free shipping. The Jack Black Playmaker is 4 of Jack's favorites and a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Make a play for the playmaker at getjackblack.com/cowboys with the code Cowboys VIP. That's getjackblack.com/cowboys with the code Cowboys VIP.
They say champions are remembered, but legends are never forgotten. United Ag and Turf offers a winning lineup of John Deere equipment built to tackle any challenge on and off the field. Legendary John Deere tractors, combines, residential mowers, commercial mowers, compact construction equipment, Gator utility vehicles, and a full line of golf and sports turf equipment. United Ag and Turf, the official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com to find a location near you.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Back to the break.
Your Dallas Cowboys return home to take on the Green Bay Packers in the wild card round of the 2023 playoffs. Get ready to white out AT&T Stadium Sunday, January 14th at 3:30 p.m. on Fox. It's time to seize everything for playoff updates. Visit DallasCowboys.com/playoffs.
Thank you so much, Brian.
Thank you.
Now, with everything that you guys said, this is a matchup that what I'm taking is now you can put more forces into stopping the run and taking care of that area of the game rather than having to help in the back with the passing game.
Yeah, so they're going to try to unleash Aaron Jones on you early and often to help their young quarterback be able to operate. So that's definitely going to be something that you need to key in on. But when they do drop back and pass with Jordan Love, like we talked about a couple segments ago, it's about getting him uncomfortable, because some quarterbacks, like Brian said, no quarterback wants to be uncomfortable.
No.
Nobody wants to be uncomfortable. The question is, when you're uncomfortable as a quarterback, can you still excel at your job? Dak Prescott has shown that when he's on the run, he can excel at his job. Aaron Rodgers, when he's on the run, he can excel at his job. Jordan Love, when he's on the run, he's not. He doesn't play good football. So if you can stop the run and then force the game onto Aaron Jones, and then get him pressured, get him moving, get him on the ground, then you got the game well in hand.
Is he, I'm assuming, based on what you guys have said, he's not the type of quarterback that can make a comeback towards the end of, you know,
that's not their type. That's not their offense.
No.
They don't play well from behind. They have to be competitive. You have to allow them to remain in the game. And that's where self-inflicted wounds can be big for the Cowboys. You need to go in there and you need to execute, and you need to do away with the holding penalties on offense and do away with the false starts. Do not let this team hang around, because if they're still around, you know, middle of the fourth quarter, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. But if you jump up on them quickly, 10-point lead, 14-point lead, force Jordan Love to be the hero against this pressure and an offensive line in front of him that doesn't do well against as well as protecting him from the pressure, then the Packers are in for a blowout. So it really just depends on which Cowboys team shows up. That's why it's so good that they're at home, because typically at home, more often than not, the version of the Cowboys that executes and does away with a lot of those self-inflicted wounds, that's who typically shows up.
All right. I wanted to ask you guys about your thoughts on Dan Quinn. He talked the other day to the media, and just overall thought, I love him saying how they're sharpening the axe and all of that and getting ready. But the thought of just the way they've been playing defense in general as a whole in the last 3 weeks, I would say, in where they started kind of inclining and seeing areas of improvement where they have shown some improvement, and being that defense that bends and don't break, but then now starting to get some turnovers. Is this something that you guys are expecting to carry into this game, where maybe possibly they can start creating some more turnovers?
Yeah, I think that the thing that you can always count on with the Cowboys is they're going to get pressure. Dan's going to dial up pressure. He's going to find ways to take advantage. We mentioned the soft tackles with the Packers. The way that you make him feel uncomfortable being Jordan Love, make him uncomfortable, and then make him have to force the ball. And then forcing the ball, we saw what happened last week against the Commanders. Young quarterback, you know, Sam Howell drops back, pressure, what happens? Ball ends up in Donovan Wilson's hands, you know, because Tank hits the arm and now the ball's fluttering around. Jordan Love can make throws. He's capable of making all the throws. The thing is, his ball will float a little bit. But you've got to find a way to, if you get to him, force him to make some of those tight window throws that no quarterback really, really likes to make. But Dan will do a good job of knowing, okay, who do I need to take away? Who do I need to try and eliminate on at receiver? And then with down in distance, And then figure out, though, how do I get pressure on this guy and then cover everything else? Because I with Dan, he's going to do that. He's going to get pressure, and he creates turnovers. And besides that, even if they catch the ball, these defenders have done a great job. Wilson, Lewis, yes. These guys, you know, they knock Tank. They knock the ball out. They get in that scrum, even the guys carrying the ball, knocking the ball out of there. So, yeah, Dan's got it.
That's what I love. It's not like they catch it.
Yeah.
The receiver catches the ball, and they're like, oh, well, they got it. Okay, yeah. They will fight. They keep going and trying to knock the ball out.
Knock the ball out. And right. I think that's how you affect the Packers here, that you make a young quarterback have to deal with a lot of different circumstances. You know, Dak has seen this. He's seen it all, you know. Jordan Love hasn't seen it all. He's seen a lot of it from the sidelines, but he hasn't experienced.
How many years?
Is this three?
It's his fourth year, I think. Yeah, fourth year, I believe, in the league. Did I get that right? I thought he was fourth year in the league.
2021.
Yeah. So, see, every day is a new experience for him. But I, you know, playing a defense like this that creates so much pressure and having to, you know, they had a couple of times they had delay game penalties. Because play not getting in fast enough, and him kind of, you know, Dan's going to, the crowd noise is going to be a factor. Defense is going to be a factor. Dan giving him a different look. Oh, my gosh, Micah Parsons moved from here to here. Right. Now, you know.
DeMarcus Lawrence is not here.
All of a sudden, Gilmore's on my best guy over here. You know, oh, my gosh, I got to worry about.
And playoffs. Yeah. I mean, that's a whole new environment.
It's a whole new. See, that old
is
guy.
Is dropping back in coverage, or is he coming for me?
Yeah, the old guy that likes to go on media now and do controversial things and talk about people on air, you know, Aaron Rodgers, he's no longer there. You know, that's the thing. When you played against the Packers.
I love the intro.
Yeah.
You
play against the Packers of old. It was Aaron Rodgers. That's what it was. It was Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, that's the main weapon that you feared.
That's the guy that it's third and 19 and he finds the open guy. You know,
and he did not need big name receivers. Like, he could make it happen.
He made a career of guys that, you know, Adams turned into a big time, but the commitment to going out and finding a first round receiver or paying a first round receiver has never been the Packer way. But now, and Rodgers got away with that because he's that talented of a guy. Anything that Dan Quinn shows this kid will likely be the first time he's seen it. And that's your hope going into this game.
Okay, so if there was an area where the Cowboys defense could actually struggle in this game against this offense, what would that be? Because right now everything you guys have said sounds pretty good.
Two things. They have to figure out how to slow down Aaron Jones between the 20s.
Yeah.
Because he does very well between the 20s. It's not until the Packers get into the red zone where their run offense falls off of a cliff. So you got to slow him down in between the 20s. And that's step one. Step two, now that the game is on Jordan Love, you have to affect the pocket. You have to collapse that pocket, preferably from the interior, but in any variation, from the exterior, the interior, whatever. If you allow Jordan Love to sit in that pocket, He can make all the throws, and he will make the throws. And because he doesn't have that alpha guy, you don't necessarily know who to key in on, which makes that much more dangerous for a quarterback that's comfortable because you know that he can throw and will throw to whoever is open. He's not, you know, just keying in, or this is my guy, I'm not getting off of this read. You don't know who the read is just yet because everybody is middling right there. Everybody's an option. So stop Aaron Jones between the 20s, which will help keep them from moving the chains. And then once Jordan Love is dropping back, do not allow him a clean pocket because he can make those throws.
Any other areas that you see, Brian, for struggles?
Yeah, it's, you know, you always worry about the running game kind of stuff. I mean, that's kind of a standard thing with this, you know, this team. I mean,
a weekly basis.
Well, you know, but no, they played better. They have. Yeah. I mean, you know, if you look at
but at least Jonathan Hankins is back.
Yeah, you look at the Miami game, you look at the Detroit game, you look at what they did against the Commanders. They've gotten better in the running game. Yeah. Hankins being back is a huge help for them. But it's going to be about, they've got to match. Green Bay is going to try and physically run the football, and then they're going to do it with movement. They're going to fool you with, you know, they're going to try and mess with your eyes. They're going to do motion. They're going to bring guys across. They're going to be jet sweeps. There's going to be all kinds of things. You know, assignment sound football. It's cliche to say, but that's what it is. But it's about physical. It's about winning the line of scrimmage, though, and it's about getting to Aaron Jones before he has a chance to get to you. Yeah, that's the one thing why teams stop Tony Pollard. They get to Tony Pollard before he gets going, you know? But Dallas has done a better job of winning the line of scrimmage and playing on the other side of the line of scrimmage here the last several weeks.
All right, well, that does it for today. Thank you so much, Brian, Patrick, and thank you to everyone who tuned in live. I'm struggling today, but we made it. We made it through the whole show. Tomorrow, we're going to be breaking down the Packers defense against the Cowboys offense. So make sure to tune in tomorrow, and Derek should be back to hosting. So thank you guys so much. For Patrick Walker, Brian Broaddus, I'm Amber Garcia. This has been The Break on DallasCowboys.com Radio.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!